I don't know. The thought that has been on my mind this week is I've just been thinking along the line of holiness. And the song that's been going through my mind in the Evening Light Hymnal, page 273, it's entitled, "We Must Be Holy." It didn't say we might be, we could be. What does it say? We must be holy. So what does that mean? It's not optional. True? It's not optional. We must be holy. And it says here in verse 1, "Jesus has taken my load of sin." For every one of us in this room tonight, you are saved. God has taken your load of sin. And it goes on to say, "Such love no tongue can tell. Then should I not resign to him my life and all my will?" So what is that saying? What does he want in return? He wants my life and he wants my will. We all have a will, right? We all have a will. And sometimes that will rises up. I know when our children were young, we had one child that had a very, very strong will. Maybe more than one. But they had a very strong will. Anything you told them, do. I think I still got one that way. Okay, anyway. She's not paying any attention to me. That's right. Anyway, it means I can go ahead and talk about her. But anyway, it goes on. "Can I behold the dear Savior's death and yet withhold a part? Oh, can I draw one selfish breath and not give him all my heart?" It says, "Reason and justice, my debt of love, demand that I should be body and spirit and all I have devoted, Lord, to thee." And the last verse says, "We must be holy as he is pure. For this the Savior died. Talents and time and earthly store to God be sanctified." What does sanctified mean? Set apart. Set apart for who? To God, right? Set apart for God to use however he wants us to be used. And the chorus says, "Holy, dear brethren, we must be holy. Living before the throne, self and possessions, all must be truly given to God alone." And so when you look at the front of the gospel trumpeter, and I forgot to grab one of those when I came in the door, but on the banner, there is a banner under the heading. There's one right there. So Sister Cherry's going to get it for me. So under the heading, or under the title of the publication, it has a banner. And on that banner, it has justification, unity in truth, and sanctification. Those are three foundational stones that the Church of God is built on. All right? Three main foundational things that the Church of God is built on. Justification. Well, what does that mean? If I'm justified, I'm what? Saved, right? Saved. As Brother Dishman would say, having the slate wiped clean just as if the sin never happened, right? Now, sanctification. Sanctification is holiness. So what does that mean? I think we already said it, but I'd like to reinforce it. I'm set apart, right? I'm set apart for the service of God. And then also it talks about unity and truth. Well, unity. God wants his people to dwell in unity, not only in unity, but in the truth. Well, we're dwelling in Jesus Christ, right? Why? Because he's the truth, the way, and the life. But anyway, he wants his people to dwell in unity. And Jesus prayed that God's people would be one, just like he and the Father are one. And you can find that in John 17, 22. All right? And so again, these are three foundational teachings that the Church of God stands on. There's many others. There's a lot of other truths. But I'm just saying that, you know, these are three foundational teachings that, you know, we must be standing on in the Church of God. All right? So tonight, we want to look at holiness for a bit. We want to look at holiness for a bit, and I definitely probably will not get finished tonight. But, you know, Sister Sherry's been, she's doing a study on holiness, and it's going to be much, much different than mine. So maybe she can kind of hit some of those spots that I'm not going to hit. But tonight, again, we want to look at holiness. God wants his people to live holy, or in other words, free from sin. He's taken that sin away from us. Now he wants to continue in a life that is sinless. You think, well, how in the world can we do that? Nominal religion tells us that we can't. But we can. But we can. You know, Christ not only came to this earth to die so we might be saved from our sins, but he lived on this earth how many years? Does anybody know? Approximately 33 years, right? That's when, if you look on the Revelation chart, AD 33, right? That was his death and resurrection. That's when the Church of God, basically, what do you want to say? That part of time started, okay? So, he came to this earth and lived a life that his Father was pleased with. In John 8:29, it says, "He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." He said that in John 8:29. And young people, we're sons of God. We're daughters of God, right? True? And God's going to be with us as well. When Jesus left this earth, he left the Holy Spirit, right? Well, what is the Holy Spirit? What has the Holy Spirit been left here for? Anybody? I'm sorry? To guide us. I'm sorry?
Save us.
Well, we're already saved. Okay, to lead us in truth. Maybe to help us stay out of sin, right? Help us stay out of sin. But we can please God as well. And we must be holy in order to please him. We must be holy in order to please him. And young people, it should be our aim and goal tonight that we please God. That we please God. And that's why God has a standard of holiness. That's his standard tonight. You know, when we talk about the standard, you know, you all think, well, that's how we dress and so on. It's bigger than that. God's standard is holiness. And the Bible talks about lifting up that banner of holiness, right? That is his standard tonight, is holiness. That we, his people, live free from sin. It's not enough that we are saved, but what are we going to do after salvation? We need to live holy. We need to live holy. And young people, he requires holiness out of his children. And if we are children of God tonight, he required it out of his son, Jesus Christ. He required it. He's going to require it of us as well. And so tonight, you know, as I was thinking about this afternoon, you know, just about every product that we buy, there are certain standards for that particular product. It must meet certain standards. If you look on the back of something, it has a UL label. All right, you take a look at your product. It'll have a UL label. And that UL label is for Underwriter Laboratories. And what they do is they test those products. They put those products through rigorous tests so that they ensure that it meets the standards for it to be safe for us as the consumer to use. And in my business, in the welding world, there's all kinds of standards. Brother Alex can attest to that, but there's all kinds of standards. And the reason why, and I was thinking in this in particular, is, you know, these standards are put in place not only for consistency, but also for the safety of the people that are going to be, what do you want to say, the end user or the consumer. And so, welding electrodes. Some of you have seen welding electrodes. They look like it's a stick about 11 inches long. And it's made up of all kinds of elements. All right, made up of all kinds of elements. It could be made, it could have iron in it. It could have carbon in it. It could have a multitude of elements in it. But there is a standard set for those that everybody that manufactures electrodes must follow. So in other words, you think about a recipe. Well, those electrodes have to have a certain recipe that they follow in order to put in those electrodes. That way they're consistent, and that way they know that it's compatible with the materials that they are going to be welding. And so, I thought about this. One of the elements that you find in welding electrodes, and they're very, very small amounts, and then depending on what you're welding on or whatever it might be, there's carbon. There's carbon in welding electrodes. Well, does anybody know when you add carbon to metal, what happens to that particular metal? It becomes harder. All right, well, sometimes we want materials that are hard. But let's say, for instance, that the auto industry, they weld their cars together. And in the auto industry, maybe an electrode manufacturer decided, no, I'm not going to follow the recipe, but I've got some extra carbon, and I'm going to throw some extra carbon into these welding electrodes. And so, they weld them up. The weld might look good. Everything would be wonderful. But what would happen maybe as it goes off the assembly line, it goes to the car dealership, and you buy the car. That weld may be brittle because it's so hard. And it may cause that weld to fail. And guess what happens? You have an accident as the result of that. And so the point that I'm getting at tonight is there are standards in this world for the products that they make for the safety of the people using it. Holiness is God's standard. And why is it put in place, young people? It is for, really, our safety. It's for our safety. Why? Because it keeps us from, as we showed you Friday night, to keep from being defiled by the world. All right? To keep from being defiled by the world. And so when we get the gift of salvation, or when we receive the gift of salvation, we then are a child of God, and we fall under the control of the Holy Spirit, as long as we allow the Holy Spirit to work. And as a child of God, God has a standard for us to live by. So in 1 Peter 1:15, he says here, "But as which hath called you is holy." So in other words, God has called us to be holy. "So ye be holy in all manner of conversation." So let's look at that in the Amplified. And it says, "But like the Holy One who called you." And this was in capital letters, Holy One. So in other words, we're talking about God, we're talking about Jesus. All right? "But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves in all your conduct." I'll say that again. He's called us to be holy in all of our conduct. "Be set apart from the world by your godly character and moral courage." And so, young people, we are called to be holy in all of our conduct. Again, as we mentioned Friday evening, the way we conduct ourselves will reveal whether we are true children of God or not. Young people, we want you to be successful in this Christian life. We want you to be successful in life. And so, you know, as I was thinking about these things, very often, or all too often, we allow the world to influence us more than we think we do. Remember, Peter said, we are to be holy in all of our conduct. And that takes in a lot. That could be the way we speak, the way we conduct ourselves out in public, the way we conduct ourselves, you know, boyfriend, girlfriend, the way we conduct ourselves within family matters, the way that we act when we're alone. It takes in a lot of things, but are we holy in all of our conduct? That's what God is asking us to do tonight, is be holy in all of our conduct. And so, are we holy? Are we holy in our talk? Are we holy in the way we speak? You know, it's necessary for us to interact in the world. I don't think that we all can go and be hermits and not interact with the world. I think that's what you want to say, almost an impossibility. At some point in time, we have to interact with the world, right? We have to conduct business. We have to work. We have to go to school. We have to do those things. We have to interact with the world. But when we interact with the world, is our talk godly or is our talk worldly? Again, these are things that you haven't heard before, but it's a good thing to be reminded of what God's expectations of us are. Are we holy in our talk? Do we talk godly or do we talk worldly? You know, as I think about, I thought it was very interesting while I was in Atlanta. And we ran into a situation where the train wasn't going to come and pick us up for quite a long time. And I told my guys, I said, we're going to walk. Let's walk. And well, at that particular time, it was dark and we had to walk through Olympic Park and we had to walk through the downtown where there was a multitude of homeless people. Well, there was a group of gals from another school in Ohio, and they were thinking the same thing, but they were kind of afraid to walk back to the hotel. I said, well, you can walk with us. I said, I think we'll all be okay. And so as we were walking along, and you know, I'm always on my guys about how they talk. And there was one in particular, it was using foul language and so on and so forth. And when we got back to the hotel, I said something to the group of, you know, their advisor and the group of girls. And I said, well, we made it back safe and sound. And I forget what all else I said. And I said, hopefully, it was a good experience. And one of the young ladies spoke up. And she said something about, like I said, I don't know exactly how it was said, but basically she was pointing out how one of my guys was talking. And she said, that's not the way you talk in front of a bunch of young ladies. And I thought, wow, I don't know where, if she goes to church, I don't know anything about her, but I thought it was profound that she actually pointed out, you know, that, and I told him, I said, I do my best to set the right example for them. And again, at school, and I numerous times on the trip, I called them out on it. But the point that I'm getting at, even the world knows. Even the world knows, really, how a young lady and how a young man should talk. But I thought it was really, really interesting that that was brought up. But also, maybe we don't out and out use maybe curse words. Maybe we clean it up a little bit and we use slang words. We're not using the real swear word, but, you know, it helps us fit in a little better and maybe doesn't make us so uncomfortable. Are we being holy when we use slang words? Again, young people, this is nothing new, but we have to be reminded of this every once in a while. Remember, we're out in the world. And if we're not careful, and if we're not on our guard, what happens is we start picking up that filth of the world. If we're not wearing that breastplate of righteousness, like we talked about Friday night, we'll start picking up the dirt of the world, just like the dirt that was on that sucker, right, Brother Evan? By by the way, I thought it was interesting. Just a little side note. So, how did that taste?
Well, it tasted good after all those off.
Yeah, well, I'm talking about with all the dirt. How did it taste?
Tasted like it came out of a pile of dirt.
Yeah. Yeah. It didn't taste very good, did it? And so, if we've picked up a bunch of dirt from the world, how do you think that? What do you want to say when we start trying to give praise to God? How does that smell to God? Doesn't smell very good, does it? Doesn't smell very good. And young people, we've got to watch what we say, right? Got to watch what we say. Is our young people, remember, what's our mission? What's our mission? Our mission is to win souls, right? And to bring glory to God. And if we're not saying the right things, how can we bring glory to God? We can't. We can't. And so as we're using our words to reach those that are lost, or are we using words coming out of our mouth that are those of the world? So young people, we always have, I believe the scripture tells us to put a watch on our mouth, right? To put a watch on our mouth. To keep watch over what's coming out of this mouth. Why? Because we're holy. We're to be holy people. And in order to be holy, whatever's coming out of this mouth needs to be holy as well. And I thought about also, you know, one thing that, you know, it seems to be prevalent in our world today is we should not be acting as the world is acting in our relationships. We shouldn't be acting as the world is acting in our relationships. You go to school with people, you see people, and you see how they act. You see how they act, especially when, you know, young men are dating young ladies, and when young ladies are dating young men, you see how the world acts. And are we being holy in our relationships? Can God say, yes, you are being holy in your relationships? Guys, is God pleased with how you conduct yourselves with the young ladies? Young ladies, is God pleased with how you're conducting yourselves with the young men? Are you keeping your interactions? Whether it's interactions with the mouth, in other words, your conversation, or your actions. Are they in the light? Are they in the light, literally and figuratively? Are all of our interactions in the light? And I got a little sidetracked when I was studying for this. And let's turn to Titus. Titus has got some really, really good admonition for us tonight. So Titus, chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. Like I said, I may not get through all my thoughts tonight, but I think this is very, very good. And we're going to start at verse 1. We're going to start at verse 1. And it says, but as for you. Now, I'm taking this out of the Amplified just because it explains it and expounds on it just a little bit more. But you can follow along. I'll start with verse 1. I'll tell you when I go to verse 2. But it says, as for you, teach the things which are in agreement with sound doctrine, which produces men and women of good character, whose lifestyle identifies them as true Christians. So does your conduct, does your lifestyle, does your character identify you as a Christian tonight? And it goes on, it says, older men. I guess I fit into that category. Older men are to be temperate. In other words, self-controlled. And I think that goes for all of us tonight. We have to be self-controlled. All right? We're living in a world today that's out of control. We have young people that are out of control. There's a lot of things that are out of control. But it says older men are to be temperate. Younger men, younger women, everybody is to be temperate. Or in other words, self-controlled. Dignified, sensible, sound in faith and love, in steadfastness, Christ-like in character. And he goes on to say in verse 3, older women, similarly, are to be reverent in their behavior. What does it mean to be reverent? Again, he's talking about older women, but I think it'd go for all of us, right? We are to be reverent. What does that mean? Respectful. So when we're in the house of God, we're to be respectful of the house of God. We're to be respectful of those that are preaching, teaching, whatever the case may be. We're to be respectful of God's time. Or even when we're out in the world, we're to be respectful people. God's people are respectful people. How do we treat others? Let's say we go to a restaurant. I know you young people go to restaurants an awful lot sometimes. You get together and you go out, and that's great. It's wonderful to hang out together. But are you reverent or are you respectful to your server? Are you reverent and respectful to those that are around you in the restaurant? You know, we're to be respectful in all phases of our lives, not just in the house of God. That's really, really important. But we're supposed to be respectful in all of our lives. This is part of holiness, right? This is part of holiness tonight. And it goes on to say, reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips or addicted to much wine, teaching what is right and good. That's our job as the older generation, is to teach you those things, right? That's what we're trying our best tonight to do, is to teach you those things. Not only teach you, but model those things before you. So that they, in verse 4, so that they may encourage the young women to tenderly love their husbands and their children. Verse 5 says, to be sensible, pure, homemakers of the home, where God is honored. In other words, young people, God wants a home. God wants people where God is honored tonight. And how do we do that? We do that through our lives living a holy life for Him. God wants to be honored in our lives. And are we giving honor to God tonight in the way that we live? He goes on to say, starting back at verse 5, to be sensible, pure, homemakers at home. You know, in other words, I thought about pure. Young people, let's keep ourselves pure, not only before God, but let's keep ourselves pure for our husbands and our wives. Let's do that. All right? Let's do that. He goes on to say, where God is honored, good-natured, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. So are we bringing, again, are we bringing honor or dishonor to God tonight? Again, remember, we're talking about living holy tonight. Living a life that is sinless before God. Verse 6, in similar way, urge the young men to be sensible and self-controlled. Well, what does it mean to be sensible? Have some common sense. Thank you, Brother Evan. Have some common sense. You know, us boys, sometimes we like toys, right? Amen. We do. We do. All right? We like our toys. But listen, sometimes in buying those toys, are we being sensible? Is that the way God would really want us to spend our money? I'm just asking. I'm not bringing any condemnation upon anybody. All I'm saying is are we being sensible? Remember, someday, young men, you're going to get married. And are you going to be sensible in your spending? Are you going to be sensible in the way you conduct yourself? Are you going to be sensible? Again, God wants sensible people. people that will use a little bit of common sense. All right? Use a little bit of common sense. And not only that, to look to God and get direction from God on your purchases. Look to God for your decisions. But anyway, be sensible and self-controlled and to behave wisely, taking life seriously. Young people, there's a time and place for fun, right? But life's not all fun. And you will find that out as you age. Life's not all fun. There's a lot of burdens. There's a lot of problems. There's a lot of things you have to take care of. And what do we have to be? We have to take life seriously. We have to take life seriously. In verse 7, it says, in all things, show yourself to be an example of good works. Are we being good examples tonight? As we go out into the world, as we leave this place, even amongst ourselves, are we being good examples? Are we, you know, as I talked about, you know, that crooked path or that straight path, you know, are we setting or are we, what do you want to say? Are we portraying or are we setting a good straight path for other people to follow? Or is it a crooked path? Now again, which path is easier to follow? A straight path, right? A straight path. So are we setting a straight path for those following on behind us? Are we setting a straight path for our brothers and sisters sitting right here? Are we setting a straight path for all those little ones that are looking up to us? So are we being a good example in purity, or with purity in doctrine, having the strictest regard for integrity and truth? So are we having, are we putting integrity and truth, what do you want to say, lifting it up? Are we lifting up integrity and truth? What is integrity? What is integrity? The way we conduct ourselves when no one's looking, right? In our private life. All right? Goes on to say, last word in this verse is dignified. Being dignified. Verse 8. We'll finish up with this one right here. Sound and beyond reproach. What does that mean? Being beyond reproach. Can anyone put a finger on us and say, you know, you're not being a good example as far as God, you know, the work of God is concerned, or being a good example to others? In other words, bringing, you know, if you're not setting a good example, you're bringing a reproach to the Word of God. You're bringing a reproach to God Himself, right? Well, He says we should be living a life that is sound and beyond reproach, or we should be blameless. We should be blameless in instruction, so that the opponent of the faith will be shamed, having nothing bad to say about us. I want you to think about that. Now, I know that there are going to be people in this world that they, no matter how hard we try, we won't be able to please them. But I would say for the most part, can we live, or do we live a life in such a way that no one, even our opposers, can say nothing bad about us? But young people, Jesus gave His life that we might live free from sin. And we can do that tonight. We can live a holy life. We can conduct ourselves in such a way that God would be pleased with us. And so I leave you with this question. Is God pleased with the way that you're conducting yourself tonight? In all phases of your life, is He pleased? We appreciate you. We're thankful for you. And we want to see you do well. We want to see you do well. Some of you have made a start. We want to see you continue. Those of you that have been in this way for a while, we want to see you continue. And as God, again, as He shows light on your pathway, then walk in that light. walk in that light tonight.